jumped around a lot. I did mobile detailing. I did marketing. You know, I started my own Mitchell marketing group. Like nice. That. It was one person, but Mitchell. It was the group.
Yeah.
Yo, well, you got to add that. And associates.
How did and you get Mitchell your leads?
And associates marketing. Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. You guys, we've got a special guest today, one that's going to blow your mind. He's a friend of ours.
Setting the expectation high right off the bat. Exactly. If he doesn't blow your mind, he'll give you a full refund. No that pressure. I guarantee you. So,
we're gonna have a great conversation. Doug flew up. This is Doug Mitchell. He flew up to spend some time with us, mastermind with us this week, as well as he's a part of some other masterminds of ours as well. Like not ours, but similar communities that we're in. And so we've had a lot of great pleasure getting to know you, and he's doing big things, bigger things than I knew, you know? So I'm really excited to talk about your journey today, brother.
Well, why is that? Why are you doing bigger things than what we know about? Why aren't, like, what's the deal, dude?
Yeah, I knew you were doing, like solar cells and something, like, but I didn't know you were doing all this other stuff.
He's that sly, like rich motherfucker.
I didn't know you did sales training. You know what I mean? I didn't know. Like, someone Kason told me, hey, we got Doug coming in. I'm like, sweet.
Well, do you want somebody in your face? Like, hey, I do sales training? Or do you want to hear about it from somebody else and say, hey, it worked for me?
No, dude. True.
Both. You know my
truth
style.
Bomb. The truth bomb right off the top.
I didn't know you were in accounting until probably like the third Flying Friday. I'm like, oh, he's the easier accounting guy. Okay.
What do you think I did? You thought I was hired help or what, bro?
That's it. That's all I knew.
He thought you were there like Danny, just hype up the room. Man.
I know. He's like, I wonder how much that guy gets paid to just go around and talk to people and just yell obscene shit.
Yeah.
You know, so I pay to do that. So I don't get paid to do that, believe it or not. Imagine what I would do if I got paid. It would go to a whole nother level. That starts getting scary, right?
Don't give Trev an hourly rate.
Yeah.
Trust me.
No. So, yeah, for real, tell us a little bit about, one, yourself. Where did you grow up? You know, what was your lifestyle like growing up? And kind of just, were you a shitty student, great student? Because most people getting into sales are shitty students. So I would assume, and again, I've been wrong once or twice, more recently than not, but I would assume that you maybe didn't do the best in school. That's why you looked at sales as your opportunity to be able to make a large amount of money for an individual with your education.
You're one of us, basically.
I know that. That's
are we misjudging
true for me.
This?
That's true for me. That's true for Kel. Mm-hmm. It's true for a lot of other individuals that I know in sales. It was like that was their one opportunity to really shine at a high level and get paid at a high level with not having a high level education.
So
start somewhere in between there and where I just ended.
I grew up pretty middle class for the most part. You know what I mean?
You had every Christmas?
Yeah.
You had presents.
I had every
under
Christmas. Like
Kel had one good Christmas. He got a go kart. I'll never forget that conversation.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we weren't super rich or anything. But
you always had what you needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the most part.
Yeah. I don't like to tell that. I did a spot with Grant Cardone one time.
Okay.
And like I told him I was middle class and I grew up middle class. And then he kept saying, oh, but you came from rough and tough beginnings or whatever. He kept trying to like put me in this
position of like, bro.
Trying to tell your story.
Yeah. Say that your situation was really shitty and that you scaled up past it.
It makes a better story. Yeah. But no, it's not that great of a story. I mean, I grew up middle class
regular
for the most part.
Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And, we've all got something messed up with us.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's why we got into entrepreneurship, so we could scratch that itch. And for me, it was rejection, right?
Mm.
And so from a very early age, my mom was always dropping me off at someone's house for the summer. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Aunts, uncles, you know, wherever she could.
Were you a shithead?
Absolutely. I was ADHD, ADD, everything
you
could think of. I was a tough kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A tough kid to parent.
Yeah, for sure.
Because as you guys know, I'm sure you have to engage us or we're just not interested and we're bouncing off the walls everywhere. You know what I mean?
We just did it.
Yeah, exactly.
For like the last 30 or 45 minutes. You know what I mean? You know, bouncing off the walls, right?
So somebody has to reel us in so we get focused. But anyways, a lot of uncertainty, moving around and stuff like that. She was married to my stepdad for a couple years before they divorced. So military, didn't really know how to make friends. Wasn't really understood by the people around me too much. And so I would say a defining moment in my life was around 12 years old when, so this whole time, the person I'm going to for the summers most of the time was my aunt, right?
Mm-hmm. And, same aunt every year for the most part.
Yeah, she never had any kids or anything, so she kind of poured into me, which was awesome because she taught me, like, responsibility and being an adult, you know what I mean, and stuff like that.
So it wasn't summers of fun. I mean, there's probably some fun in there, but there was your most growth as a young child was in your summers with an individual that poured into you.
Right. And so around 12 years old, my sister was pregnant. My mom and my stepdad were divorcing, and my mom wasn't around, you know what I mean? And my stepdad was just, like, working his ass off as a cop, and he actually ended his life a few years later. You know what I mean? So that can kind of tell you where he was headed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
And so my aunt was just like, hey, I'm just going to pluck you out of here, and you're going to come live with me now.
Right.
You know?
And done so with that summer shit.
Yeah. She was kind of my guardian angel in that sense. And, you know, the kind of the defining moment was that my mom didn't come for me. You know what I'm saying? She was like, in her head, it was like, oh, well, he's better off with her.
Yeah.
You know? Which I understand, but being a parent now, having three kids, I will murder somebody if they try to take my kid from me.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, no, dude.
I got in trouble for saying that once, actually.
Dude, like.
Oh, shoot, that's on the air.
Exactly. Oh, edit that.
No, that's not
no
on
he
air.
Would never harm a person.
I just offended someone that heard me say something.
This is not criminal advice.
Yeah. Don't do anything. No, just kidding. I think that we're all like that. And to be quite honest with you, you know, I've had issues, you know, with my actual dad, and I have a tough time getting over it because of that exact same reason. I'm just like, yo, like, it don't make sense to me.
Yeah, like, how could you do that?
I don't care what frame of mind. I don't even care what you were going through. Some people are like, well, you don't know that they were going through. Da, da, da. I'm like, I don't care what I was gonna, like, that. If it's my child, I will fight for my child. And so I don't understand voluntarily, like, yo, I'm going through a lot. See you later.
But
who I am as an individual, I don't understand that.
Even though they're our parents, they're not wired like us. Even though we get a lot from them genetically, like, dude, we're killers, bro. Like, they're probably not. Like, I don't know him. So I don't know your dad or whatever, but, like,
he's not.
Even though you're your parent, like, you're not them. So, like, they might just give up on shit easier.
Yeah.
You know, they're not killers. They're lambs in the world. We're fucking lions. You know what I mean?
But are we lions because of them?
Yeah. I would say a lot of my experiences is what's helped develop that, right? Like, I want more, I want better, I want to love my kids different. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what Tony Robbins says in that I'm Not Your Guru, which is an amazing watch.
So it's worth a rewatch.
I think I've watched it like 3 or 4 times because it's so impressive. Yeah. But he says the same shit, like, oh, well, this person was good to you, and you're grateful for that individual, but you're happy with who you are today. So don't you have to kind of be grateful for some of the shitty shit that the other parent did and actually be thankful that they did what they did in order to create the individual that's standing in front of us today? Like, he goes through that psychology with that individual right in that documentary. And it's pretty powerful to see because it helps you see, you know, a different perspective, the other side of the coin, so to speak. Because it's the same coin, but if you're looking at it from your side, and I'm, you know, we're looking at two different things, but we're looking at the exact same thing, right? Visually. So
one's positive, one's negative.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. So you have to take all the good with the bad, because that's, you know, all you are is a record of the past, and you've developed this catalyst in order to go out into the world and fight like a lion or whatever, maybe because of some of the battle scars that you have emotionally. And some people will say, well, I have these issues, and they'll use it as an excuse or a way out of not honoring some of the potential that they really have in life, because it is a valid excuse. Sometimes people have valid excuses that other people won't blame you for, like, oh, hey, this happened, so-and-so passed away, or this, or whatever, and you're like, my heart goes out. Like, I'm not going to be hard on a person for not accomplishing something after they've been through X, whatever X is. Again, all they're doing is leaning on that as an excuse or a reason not to chase their potential. And if they lean on that, then they don't feel as shitty about not chasing their potential because of this, though, right here. But if they don't have anything to point at, then they would have to take a hard look in the mirror and say,
the man in the mirror.
Correct. So if they're, again, as long as you have something to point at to say it's this, 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 you can avoid the mirror.
So I got really good at compartmentalizing at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to take the disappointment I had from that whole situation and just kind of put it in a box to the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always kind of was able to kind of engage with what was in front of me. Mm-hmm. I didn't carry that baggage. And I didn't realize I even had the baggage, honestly, until after my divorce.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so I grew up with a chip on my shoulder. And I was, you know, no offense to you guys, but I was a little guy for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So
come on, bro. So we were the little guy that made you look like a medium guy. You know what I mean?
Get a scale out. Let's see who's
going. Yeah. Yeah. Going into high school, you know, I was like 5 foot nothing. I, you know, I didn't grow probably until I was like 16. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm still waiting. I'm 37.
I grew to 5'6" real quick. It just stopped about eighth grade.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I peaked out at sixth, bro.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. You were taller than me at one point.
Hey, it all evens out.
That's what I'm saying.
It all evens out eventually.
I'll take mine, but yeah. Whatever. All right, I'm done. But my point is, like, I didn't get picked up for the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I had issues with sports. I didn't have any raw talent, you know?
Yeah. You were used to extreme disappointment, yeah. I think. And I think that that's what also drew you to sales as well, is because you could deal with extreme disappointment. You're good at
nothing.
It. That's what you're used to.
Yeah. And so going through high school and everything, I didn't really find my tribe, you know? And so I graduated high school, followed a girl to – I grew up in Shirts, Texas, which is right next to San Antonio. And then I followed a girl to Corpus Christi, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Took a bunch of different jobs, told every job that I had how to do their job, you know, every owner and every manager. And
they love that. They love that.
Fired from 20 different positions, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're not picking up on that, it's a perfect thing to do to really get in good with the boss, is just tell them everything they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
try
so,
that.
Yeah.
See what happens.
So I finally found an opportunity with a real estate company that appreciated, you know, basically an entrepreneurial spirit in general. So I started getting on behind the computer versus, you know, swinging a hammer or whatever the case was. And I got an opportunity to learn how to do marketing for real estate.
Mm.
So I did just listed postcards. I did the websites. I did the realtor's business cards. You know, everything aesthetic I did for them. And that's kind of.
How old were you at this point?
I was 19. 19.
19. So you're out of high school at this point.
Yeah.
Are you still living with auntie?
No.
Or are you're moved out?
I was
out
living
by
on my
now,
own already.
So you're on your
own.
Yeah.
When I was 18,
you were gone.
Getting the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. All
yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. He got the fuck out at 18. Yeah. You're
yeah.
Good.
And that sometimes. Was real important to me. So when I followed that girl to Corpus, it was with $200 and a Ford Ranger that my aunt had given me. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So like I had a little bit more than most people starting out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had our Walmart credit card, too. I remember that. Thank you, Aunt Debbie.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Walmart. Saved his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Probably once or twice with that gas when, you know, five, exactly. 10 bucks.
Did you ever feel you were taking advantage or just getting the bare minimum? Like, were you just getting top ramen at Walmart? Or
no,
I
took advantage.
You took advantage?
I took.
Getting the Walmart
I
steak and shrimp?
I was a little shithead. And she was like, really? Really? Like, yeah, I would go on dates with that Walmart money sometimes. You know, you get the cash back.
Oh, that's dirty, dude.
Dude,
Hey, I've done some shit I wasn't proud of, dude.
Exactly.
Well, those are what we call learning opportunities, and I would guess he learned from them, and it made
him
a better man. So.
And yeah, now she calls me right now. I'm there. That would have been without the Walmart card, and Debbie.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I got into that opportunity. You know, he got a big opportunity in Houston, started marketing skyscrapers. So he left for Houston, laid me off. I was in Corpus and jumped around a lot. I did mobile detailing. I did marketing. You know, I started my own Mitchell marketing group like
nice.
That. It was one person, but Mitchell. It was the group.
Yeah.
Yo, you got to add that. And associates.
How did
and
you get
Mitchell
your leads?
And associates marketing.
Yeah. Oh, it started with real estate and kind of got referrals from there. I did B&I. You know, I saw that in your book as well.
Yeah.
I sold credit repair. For a while.
So from the time that you were 19 to what age were you just kind of figuring yourself out, jumping from job? Was it from 19 to 25, 19 to 28? Like
I would say till 23.
Till 23?
23 is when I bought Argenta Field Solutions, which is my business now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went through a 3 or 4 year jump job to job to job, just kind of figuring things out, figuring out where your lane is in life, right?
Yeah.
And let's just highlight that for a second, because I want people to understand at a young age that they don't need to get it all figured out. Like
no.
From like, I think some people put some unnecessary stress on themselves at 19, 20, 21, 22. Some of the people that are maybe listening are that age that they think that they need to have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's not the case. Right. Everybody goes through this weird little phase where you're, you're finding your way to that thing that's going to give you the opportunity, provided you're consistent with it over a long period of time, right? Mm-hmm. So you found your thing, you were consistent with it over a long period of time, hence it's still your business today. What's, you know, generating your income.
And if I could tell myself anything at that age, it would be to take extreme ownership, because I didn't back then.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
Nothing
was, more
was your
like,
fault.
You know, it wasn't that bad, but it was more like, you know, I think I'm better than I am. You know who the fuck I think I am?
Your ego. You know? You had a high ego with...
Because I knew I was going to be great.
Well, shit,
but I wasn't great yet. Right. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, like, you're mentally, you're like, dude, I'm great.
Yeah, I
but
know.
But you
what
weren't
I'm...
great in that moment. And it's funny when you actually go from having an ego and this, that, the other, and actually starting to become great, it changes. Yeah, you get humble.
You're like, damn,
shit
I ain't
starts
shit.
Changing. Yeah. You realize, because you have to go through so much shit to actually be successful, that shit usually humbles people. So when you're talking the big game, when you really don't have it, that's how a lot of people can kind of know the pretenders. Like, some people are surprised with some of the stuff that me and Kel have done. They're like, well, you guys are, I wouldn't say quiet guys, you know, I'm kind of noisy.
Yeah.
But not necessarily.
We're only
going
5'6" and 7" and
yeah, 5'7", bro.
Some little tights.
Don't throw a six up in my shit. but yeah, no, we keep it chill so that people don't fully understand to what level we do what we do. Mm-hmm. But I also, when I made 120 grand a year, nobody could tell me shit. I was the fucking man.
You knew
right?
it all. Yeah,
exactly, I knew it right. all, son. I'm making more than people that are older than me, you know, because then you're looking for ways to find a sense of pride and feed your ego. And you look for I bet I make more money than that person and they're older than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes you kind of feel good just for that. But that just is a huge level of immaturity. So if you're an individual listening to that right now, and those are thoughts going through your head just because you make 80 grand a year, 100 right. grand a year, 150, 200.
Humble your ass.
No, just stay on the path that you're on. Well, you'll be humbled.
Yeah, you will.
You will not
also
continue at a high level.
Account for inflation. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
When I was a marketing manager, I made 30 grand a year. You know what I'm saying? But I was rich. I was single, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any expenses. I had a vehicle that I owned.
I remember making 19 grand, or when I was 19, making like 40, 50 grand when we first got into sales. And I was like,
yeah, I found it way
nobody
too late,
could tell me nothing to do, dude. Like, I had it figured out, bro. There's months I was making $4,000, you know?
I thought I had it figured out because I was wearing slacks to work and everybody else was going to school, you know what I mean? And so
it was the dress thing for you, also.
Yeah.
We tried that for a minute. We tried the whole play the dress up thing and act at like, look, here's the deal. Success doesn't look like a certain thing.
Doesn't.
Let's just fucking call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. Success isn't a certain height, a certain weight, a certain button up, a certain pair of shoes. It's not a certain belt. It's not a certain car.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is. And I think that the world today has it completely backwards. You just want to look successful and you're fucking drowning yourself trying to do so. When there's other motherfuckers out here just living like good, but you don't know how good it is because they don't put it on the front page.
Right.
Like every other motherfucker.
You know what's ruining it is those freaking, they're not quite memes, but it's the guy in the suit.
Sure.
fixing his cuffling with the, you know, the Lamborghini in the back or
clicks.
Whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's
like
what we're programmed to.
Selling a program on
you went like this.
You're selling a program on how to be successful, and that's how you're successful. So therefore, you pay for the photo shoots and you do all the things because, again, the average person sees that and will just assume, okay, this person knows way more than me. That's also another issue. Quit grandfathering authority and trust into other people just based upon the way they look. Mm-hmm. Oh, that person's on TV. They must know what they're talking about. That's not the truth.
I'll tell you.
This person's a doctor.
But that is good
There's
marketing.
There's plenty of dumb
doctors.
It's
great marketing,
Sure.
You got to learn how to play that psychological game in your marketing. But I'll tell you what success is because I was reading the book Psychology of Money. Have you read it?
Mm-mm,
okay, no. So there's this early on in like second or third chapter, there's a story, and this guy's kind of, it's like a group of multimillionaires and billionaires. They're hanging out, kind of like a mastermind like we do, right?
Okay. It's like us right now.
This one dude,
minus
and
the B word.
He name drops in there. I can't remember all the names, so I'm just going to like generalize it.
Sure.
This dude, has written a book. It's wildly successful. It's been top seller for years and years, right? And he's made a really great impact with this book and built a great life off of it, right? This other guy in there kind of like belittles him. He says, hey, the funny thing is like my business does more in a month than your book's ever done collectively, right? And he's like, oh, that's interesting, right? And this guy's just feeling like super successful, you know? He's like, oh, that's interesting, but I have one thing that you don't have. And he says, oh, yeah, what's that? Enough. I have enough, and I know I have enough. And he's like, I'm happy. You'll never be happy because you're always going to chase a number that will never be enough, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was like, damn, that's pretty good to hear, right? Because, like, I don't know what my enough is yet. I don't have total financial freedom yet. Like, yeah. I am not completely free. This guy has reached a level where he's like, I have enough money to live the rest of my life. So that's not the most important thing
everything.
To me. I'm working on my happiness. I'm a happy dude, right? That's really
if you sold everything and bought like a RV, bro, you're good for life. Matthew McConaughey next to the beach, bro. You have plenty of money to live for 40 or 50 years.
He's got like 6 kids, bro.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. Christmas is going to get expensive when Kel's a freaking granddad. Uh-huh. He's going to, each of them are going to have 3. Kel's going to have 20 grandkids
to
produce presents for.
It's so true, and you were alluding to it earlier. It's like a,
complacency?
Harsh times create great men.
A lot of guys have been saying
easy
that.
Times.
Right.
Yeah, that, I mean,
strong
it's
men
true.
Create weak men at the end, right?
Yeah, you're creating easy times for your kids. So you got to like, you got to, like, create some adversity almost for your kids. You know?
Well, dude, it's actually a known fact down to a biological level that we actually need adversity. And it's a proven fact that our bodies, we have to give it things that it's resistant to just for the purpose of it to fight back. And it does the thing that it's supposed to do. Therefore, it stays strong. Just like you going to the gym. Mm-hmm. You move the weights so that you could have strength, right? And so our body actually needs some of this resistance so that it can do what it's designed to do and remember what it's designed to do and operate at an optimal level, right? And so I literally been going deep on the brain and the body, you know, stuff like that. And this is a shit that gets me going. But
it makes so much sense because we were built to survive.
But look at all the people that take it easy, though. What do they end up with by the time they're 40 or 50 or 60 years old? Diseases, because their bodies have taken it easy.
Yeah,
their body hasn't felt any sort of restriction. And the guy was talking about like the cold baths and the plungers, and they said, "Yes, that is very healthy for you because it puts your body under duress or stress, and it needs it. You're exercising your body and your mind and all of it, not just physically, like." Lifting weights, any duress at any point, whether it's heat duress from saunas, whether it's through the cold stuff, whether it is working out, whether it's running long distances, your body has to have duress in order to survive at a high level for a long time.
Did you hear that cold plunge dude the other day? Like, there's a video going viral about him. He was like, you know, everyone gets in the cold plunge and they're like trying to relax their body and like stay still and like calm, and they feel like that's what's best. He's like, you actually want to get in there and move around because you create this thermal layer around you. You know, he's like, it's actually colder if you move around.
That was Dr. Huberman.
I don't know. I didn't follow his name, but I was like, that's probably interesting. I'm gonna try that the next time. I never do that.
Instagram.
Cold plunge.
We're both on Real Business Owners, right? We both see the same the Instagram feed, so we probably watched the same video.
I can't remember
who
shared it.
It was Dr. Huberman. He was the guy that was on Ed Milet's podcast. So I follow that guy pretty closely because, again, I get excited about the brain and shit like that. So
my, this is a long story, but my ex father-in-law, which is hopefully my future father-in-law, long story, but anyways,
should we give him a brief? we're going to circle back.
Yeah. We'll circle back to that. He retired like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And, he went out and got his, master's. Or he got his degree in law, right? Yeah. And he was like at the highest levels of law before. He was a ICE agent, you know what I mean? So he's locking up like child predators and stuff like that. But anyways,
he's doing the good work.
That's badass.
Yeah, I asked him, why are you going to school? You know what I mean? And he was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm retired, and if I don't keep working this thing, it's gonna go away.
You don't use it.
You know what I mean?
Use it, man.
And I think it makes so much sense because so many people like. The thing they fear the most is like dementia. You know what I mean? But as business owners, I don't think we'll ever have that problem unless it's hereditary, right?
Yeah.
Because we are literally up against the grind every day.
Yeah.
And I always like to say I had a problem in my 20s. Like, I, you know how like hey, don't bring the drama. Well, I want the drama. I want the war. I'm a wartime general. You know what I mean? I'm bored if things
maybe
are good.
You thrive. You thrive.
I'm dead serious, right? I figured this out about myself.
You thrived in chaos, so you created your own chaos.
I had this talk with Corey not too long ago because I'm very similar. I'm like, bro, I know I'm kind of the one that gets us in these messes and these battles, right? But like, I've got some badasses like Trev. Like, we fucking fight these battles together. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
and you end up.
I know I'm.
You end up like better on the other side of it. You know.
You do.
And I mean, I remember one time. Okay, so I had bought my business from the previous owner. I worked for him for a couple of years. He was kind of a mentor to me. You know what I mean?
Was he retiring or something? Like, why did he sell you the business?
Because I was the only one that could make it work. I was the only one that brought it to black.
Gotcha.
Whereas before, he had someone pitch him the business idea of an AT&T contract doing door-to-door sales. They went out and tried to run the company and ran it into the ground, right? Mm. And the model was out there. They just didn't know it, you know? And so he asked me to start managing it, so I took advantage. I brought it to black, and he tried to sell it. But, I mean, think about it. Like, it's just a contract with AT&T.
Yeah.
You got good credit. You got a business plan. You can get that contract.
Yeah.
You know? And so
he didn't have anything proprietary that was special, right?
I mean, he had about 20 grand in legal documents that he paid some high-priced lawyer to put together. So the 1099 contractor agreement was solid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's not $1 million.
I can go on Rocket Lawyer
business
right now and get one for $200.
get some dude. You can whip agreements together, right? Like,
so he had sunk $200,000 into it, and so that was his purchase price. You know what I mean? He owner financed it to me, and
at that same price,
yeah.
So was it a percentage of revenue, or was there a monthly payment for X amount of months? Like,
it was a guaranteed payment.
Guaranteed payment every single month?
You guys will still see it in the books because y'all do my books, but there's a guaranteed payment in there.
Is that for the life, or is there an expiration date on that?
I think it was a 5-year balloon. Anyways, I just paid them off last year.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that's what I did with some of the EIDL funds.
Yeah.
Hopefully the IRS isn't listening, but so I don't have a partner anymore. I mean, I have a minority partner in Wayne, but he got that off the equity. As soon as I bought the business, I gave him that. I wanted him to have that.
Give him a piece of the pie.
Sure. But anyways, so like the adversity part, you know, like I thrived on that stuff. You know, there were so many times when Alicia, which is my ex-wife, girlfriend, baby mama, and we currently live together.
Nice.
Again, we're going to cut. This is the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I guess this is what will make them stay to the end, right?
Yeah.
We got to have a cliffhanger, you know? So what's going to happen? Like the suspense of a movie. We can't wait to the end. Everyone can't wait to hear
this
about
part of my process.
The ex-father-in-law.
You're going to see the most listeners
kind
all the way
maybe
to the
future
end.
Father-in-law, baby mama, ex, now girlfriend. Yeah.
So she would always trip out. It's like, why are you so excited right now? You're not going to make payroll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how are you even like not depressed and miserable right now? And I'm like, well, I got a problem to solve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that's what I do. I solve problems all day. I mean, that's what a true, in my opinion, business owner does.
That's it.
They're a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Every, you know? And a lot of people want to be a business owner. They want to be the entrepreneur because it looks like it would be the cushy thing to do because of the Instagram photos on the jets and da 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 da. Again, the good shit. And that stuff can happen and does happen, but it's like less than 1% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, so, but they show all that shit, right?
But when I'm on the jet, I'm freaking out because I just spent $15,000 to be on that jet. And I'm like, how am I going to get my ROI on this? You know what I'm saying? The first time I did that, I was like, it was just freaking scary to me. You know what I mean? Because I felt like I was being irresponsible. Is this me just being egotistical and wanting to take a picture in front of a jet, which I don't have a picture of, by the way?
I do.
Yeah,
we do. It's on our page. Corey did that, which I don't like that because that's not. So it's a rental.
But what happened is I never got sent the pictures, and I was just like, fuck it, I don't need the pictures, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm inside. There's a picture of me inside, and I'm smiling like a motherfucker because it was a cool experience.
It is.
But, I was freaking out at the time. You know what I mean? Because that's what we do. We're like, you know, we create the opportunity. We create the issue, which is, $15,000 on the bank account. You know what I mean? And I got to put it back.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
like,
you created your
part.
Own problem, and that's all you thought about, right?
Yeah.
But people want entrepreneurship and don't realize that it's not the picture on Instagram in the jet. like it comes with every problem that your business has. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think you've got the easy job as the boss or the mm-hmm. entrepreneur or whatever. You hear about 100% of 100% of all the problems in your business. They all flow up.
And outside you know? Of your business.
And a lot
about
of people.
About their kids.
Yes.
About their baby moms.
About everything.
Their
we have to hear about everybody yeah. else's problem. Plus, that creates a problem for our business. Plus, we have our own personal problem. Plus, you know, it's entrepreneurs take on a heavy, 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 heavy load. And mm-hmm. and I've said it before and I'll say it again. I honestly believe that if individuals could understand or wear the stress or the headaches or, you know, try to solve the problems that entrepreneurs have to try to solve on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. if they tried to wear that cap or, you know, walk a mile in those shoes, however you want to put it, for even a month, I honestly think then you put them back in whatever situation they were in prior,
they would
be operating at a completely different level, because they would be like, holy shit, it's that difficult to operate a business. Mm-hmm. Like, I should be going above and beyond to try to ease the stress and the burden, because most people will crumble under regular stresses or regular burdens that they experience solo. Mm-hmm. But we, like you just said, experience everybody's stresses and burdens.
Right.
And our job is to try to provide to them at a high level. And every decision that we make, we have to think about 60 people, not just myself or one human being, right? And so it is a heavy load for individuals to bear. And people need to understand, going into entrepreneurship, no matter what the internet makes it look like, it's not sexy. Mm-hmm. It's not sexy. It is a fucking grind, and it is all problems. And you show up each day with a pocket full of solutions and just start handing them out.
Seeing what
it's
works.
Fucking Halloween. You're passing them out like damn candy up in this bitch.
Freedom,
you know what
fire.
I mean? So yeah. That's just the way that it works. And that's business. If there's not a fire, you're probably not in business. You know,
or
you haven't grown. Yeah, or you're probably on your way. Yeah, exactly. You know, so should we talk about his story yet? Or should we just say, hang on again, we'll get there. You know.
Well, I have a feeling that his story, and I don't know, I'm totally wrong. It's just I relate to it because I went through a nasty divorce that felt uh-huh. like a damn kick in the gut for a long time, and
yeah.
it forced me to like start looking inward, right? Mm-hmm. To become aware of some of this shit. Like, you're now so aware of like, oh my gosh, this is how I thrive. This is what I operate on. This is what drives me, right? But
and
it's
I,
like
you
I had to go through
badass,
that shit.
I didn't have a badass counselor like you did. I was reading your book and I was like, man, like I wish I would have found someone like that, because I could unpack that shit
man.
For me. Because I had to take it out on everybody else before I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I had to go all
you
in
eventually
on that,
get smart enough to where you notice your own patterns and you're just like, oh fuck, it is me. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, dude.
I'm sorry. Continue.
No, that was kind of like my question is like, what forced you to look inward like that in order mm-hmm. for you to discover like all the things you know now?
So it was like, mm-hmm. you got to understand, once I got loose onto the workforce and once I got my own business, it was like win, 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 win. That's all I did. You know what I mean? I hit roadblocks
and
stuff like that.
So they made a theme song after you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was
all
me.
Whatever that is. J-Rock. No, that there's that one too.
So, like, I mean, I went from, you know, 2012, we maybe did 300,000 in commissions. And when I remember, I did not operate like a full fulfillment side of the business.
Yeah.
We sold, we got paid commissions, and we reinvested into the business and recruited and trained. That's our business, and that's what I've done for 12 years. You know what
and
I mean?
AT&T did the fulfillment because you were out
AT&T
there.
AT&T did the fulfillment. ADT did the fulfillment.
So you had like, one lane. You could get a focus on recruiting and sales.
We were a sales machine.
Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean? And we could pivot to any client. You know what I mean? AT&T is just the one that we like the most. You know, that has continued to take care of us. But anyway, so all I did was win for a long time. So I went from 300,000 to 800,000 to 1.5 to 2.8 to 4.8, all in like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I, you know, I had the wife, I had the three kids, I had the house, you know what I'm saying? Like I was killing it by all means. And I was exactly what I thought I was supposed to be. I was the opposite of my parents.
So, yeah, if you mm-hmm. wrote everything on paper and you just looked at it on paper, mm-hmm. everything looked real good.
Yeah.
Dougie Fresh over here making X.
Yeah.
He's got the house. He's got the lady. He's got three kids, you know. Uh-huh. Everything on paper is stacking up, bro.
I'm going to Cowboys games in the suite, you know what I'm saying? Like, We're taking trips. You know, I'm paying for everybody's dinner. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, that guy.
That's where I found my value. And then the business tanked.
Mm.
Then the next year, and I'll never forget it. So
you missed that Cowboys game. I had to be tough.
Yeah, I missed the Cowboys game in the suite.
I had to sit in the nosebleeds. It was tough.
So the reason why we scaled so fast was because of the whole home DVR, 100% with U-verse. Pause it in one room, play in another, right? And then DirecTV came out with the Genie. So DirecTV had the Genie and NFL Sunday Ticket. So all of a sudden, we weren't the biggest game in town. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't overcome an NFL Sunday Ticket, and they had the whole home DVR too. You know what I mean? And so
got their own problems, bro.
As we started to adapt to that,
own Vietnam.
A lot of my guys got sifted off to DirecTV, got recruited away to DirecTV. So this is
They were looking for the easier sell because they were like, oh shit, well,
and
that's the sell now.
Yeah, because it's a 2-year contract. It's putting a satellite dish on your roof. It's a bigger commitment. Whereas AT&T was like I don't even think it was a contract at the time. You know,
it was just a yes.
And so they were able to pay double. And so I had to deal with, you know, double the commission. And
so
my
you had to think about you maybe potentially converting over. You second guess some things, I'm sure, throughout process. No?
So the mistake I made to that point is it was all about the money and all about rapid advancement in the organization. So you could go from an entry level rep to a regional director in a year and a half. I had one guy do it. And he was managing, you know, 60, 65 reps, something like that.
Okay.
So that was what we rested on. And we rested. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we shouldn't have. We should have started building the culture. We should have started building the operations. And we should have started developing our people. Because if we had done that, they wouldn't have even blinked an eye at the DirecTV situation. You know what I'm saying? And we eventually did get a DirecTV contract because AT&T decided to merge with them. And then all bets were off. Like, it's not a conflicting product anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we killed it on DirecTV. You know what I'm saying? But by then, I had started building. I had realized I have no culture. You know what I'm saying? And it was so it was huge for us to go
through
that.
So when you went into business, it was all about making money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think Kel even wrote that in his book, you know?
Yeah.
First, it's about taking care of yourself, grabbing cash. You know what I mean? Like, you're young, you're hungry, and you're just wanting to make money and be rich. You think that that's going to solve every problem at that age and at that maturity level,
right?
So that's just all you want. You know, you have this thing made up in your mind of what's going to happen when you have X, and when you have X, you're like, oh, damn.
And the only reason I didn't fall apart is because I wasn't the complete cliche. You know, my net profit in 14 was 8% because I was constantly reinvesting back into the business. You know what I'm saying? I want to say I bring home like 350 grand. 400, nothing crazy for bringing in $5 million for the year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I didn't take complete advantage, right? But once I started building out the rest of that, which, you know, I have a simple acronym for it now. It's called CODOC, CODOC, right? It's compensation. That's the entry level, right? When you get into business, right? That's the reason you go out and knock on the door. That's the reason you pick up the phone, right?
Right. That's the reason why you're willing.
I want
to get your face
willing.
Pounded.
Yeah, exactly. I want to get paid.
Pay me.
Right.
Right.
And then the next one is opportunity, all right? I'm getting paid, but I'm kind of getting bored now. You know what I mean? Like 100 grand, cool. But where's
What's
my opportunity?
Yep.
What's the next thing? Am I going to become a trainer? Am I going to
have my own team? Am I going to
And then am I going to develop as a seller? Am I going to develop as a leader? You know what I mean? So that's development. And then operations. If I go out and sign 100 people to Easier County tomorrow, can you guys handle the fulfillment on that?
No.
No,
not in one day.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like you don't have 100 accountants ready to each take on one new client to where it's just turned around like that.
Right.
Could we take it on? Yeah. It'd be a slow process to get them.
Yeah.
Where
you have to set the expectation with the
correct.
Client.
Correct. Yeah. That's where in the sales call, you would say, yo, here's where we're at. We just onboarded 89. You're number 90.
Right. You know, so that's operations.
We'll get there in a month and a half.
And then included in that operations is, okay, if I'm going to become the sales leader in the company and I'm going to be responsible for making my team bigger and bringing more revenue to the company, can my company recruit? Can they get people in the door? So I have somebody to teach this stuff. You know what I mean? And then the last thing is culture, which to me is the most important one. If you don't have the culture, you know what I'm saying? Everything else will prop you up for a while, but eventually your people will leave because it's not the right culture. It's
right.
And all those things feed into culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody wants to be at a ceiling.
If you work on those other six things, the culture will naturally follow. You know, the people that we did keep through all that stuff, they were early adopters. You know what I mean? They understood. They saw this thing grow. They saw me reinvest in the company. You know what I mean? So the ones that were leaving were there for 6 months.
So let's talk about what happens. Right. As you're building a successful company and you have your house and your vacation and your whatever, you three kids, your wife, what derailed that? Would you say business derailed? How would you say you went from being married with three kids and everything on paper looking good? Mm-hmm. Obviously, something wasn't good there. First off, what wasn't good? Was it the business that got in between it? And secondly, if it was, now that you're figuring it back out with her, was that just like, okay, I figured out how to do this a little better?
So,
you know, let's walk through that real quick because we've been
dangling
this carrot,
uh-huh.
giving them an opportunity to hear the rest of the shit.
Now it's time to close. Now it's time to get paid. So
go to www.
Basically, what happened? Basically, what happened is, I could not be content in any given situation. You know what I'm saying?
And nothing was good enough.
Nothing was good enough. And it's what drove me in my business, and it's what eventually led to my divorce. I didn't understand how to be present in the moment. All the stuff we talk about in our masterminds now and that we talk about with each other, our ability to go home and turn this shit off here so that we can be present with our kids, I wasn't able to do. You know, it was a sickness, but it also drove me to great heights in my business, right?
Yeah.
And so that transferred over into my relationship. I thought I needed the extra girls when I went to travel. I thought I needed to cheat on my wife and be this freaking conqueror of all things, including women. You know what I'm saying?
Wanted to be wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
And that could be the subconscious thing playing in your mind from what.
Oh, it was 100% mommy issues.
Mommy dropped you off.
Right.
And, oh boy, wanted to be wanted by a female.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? That's the subconscious thing that's playing in his mind at that point.
What happens when you're not content and your mind gets quiet? The hotel room gets quiet. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When there's not a problem to solve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go and create and
you're
one.
Stuck. Yeah, you're you go stuck and create with something you don't so you're need. Like, I got to get myself into some trouble here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I did, you know. And so I went through that for about a year and a half. And then I helped her uncle launch his church. And so then I was convicted, you know what I'm saying, every day being this freaking hypocrite, this, you know, farce. I don't know. What is it called? This, it starts with an F. It's fake. You know what I mean? And eventually I had to go up on the stage and give my testimony, and I couldn't do it without, you know, basically asking for forgiveness, without admitting to God that, hey, I'm sinning every week that I go out of town, you know what I'm saying? And then I gave my testimony, and I never did it again after that. And so, but I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like I said, remember compartmentalizing when I was younger?
Right.
I was really
stuff
good.
It away.
Mm-hmm. I was good at being bad, right?
You had some dark spots that you can hide shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, just put it over there and it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I had to, I held on to that for a while, and eventually, can't even remember what it was. It was like an old email or something that I used, and she asked about it, and then she just got the fire hose. I just unloaded everything on her.
Yeah.
And no woman is ready for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to remember, like, I was her everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was a teacher, you know what I mean? She had her degree, she got her master's, you know, but she would work for a year and then like miss the kids and then stay home. You know what I'm saying? And she could do whatever she wanted, you know what I mean?
Mom guilt's real, dude.
Yeah. Sure. So just to kind of like sidebar here, she decided to leave teaching this year, and she's going to be starting her own tutoring company now.
Oh, cool.
From going
to one
mastermind event.
Yeah, that's needed too, dude.
Yeah.
That's needed. A lot of people want their kids out of just public schools right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, individuals with a degree right now have a lot of power to kind of pull off on the side and charge a decent buck because people want to pay.
And now teachers can make $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And not be stressed out by state testing and all the bullshit they got to deal with. So not
to deal
get
with
too
kids,
off.
They should get a $250,000,
right?
A year at least. Yeah. I mean, especially like 30 of them at a time.
Dude, she works. She works.
I barely handle my own family.
It's a great business.
She works way harder than me right now.
Yeah.
You know, I get paid for the decisions I make. She's physically
she's
there.
She's in the
60
shit right
hours
now.
A week.
Doing her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
respect to her.
Yeah, for sure. So anyways, you know, for 3 months I did everything I could. You know, I and this what was his name earlier? You're saying I need to talk to him. because he's in the middle of the shit right now
with his ex.
Yeah. So this is what I did. This is how, like, this is what I did right. You know what I mean? I got into the dating and that was all wrong, right? But what I did right is I gave her everything that she wanted. And I mean, within reason. She was a reasonable person. Okay. So
she wasn't looking to take you to the cleaner. She's like, yo, I just need enough to survive. Like, yeah. Me up.
And so, you know what I mean? I paid her full support, you know what I'm saying? But I never got put on child support. Yeah. I told her, I'm not going to have the state tell me to take care of my kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I was like, that transfer will be there every Friday. The one Friday it's not, you can put me on child support. But until then, it'll be there every Friday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was weird because through all of this, my business did amazing. And I was maybe there for 20 hours a week. And so that was kind of, I felt like God, like, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're about to go through some shit. You know what I mean? But I got you on this side. So that whole time, I didn't use the kids against her. She didn't use the kids against me. Right. We had a stellar co-parenting. We could write a book on co-parenting, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because we did that for 2.5 years until we started dating again eventually. And the only reason we were able to do that because she had finally forgiven me. Because we had tried to reconcile like 3 or 4 times before that, but she hadn't forgiven me yet. She wanted to be with me.
Sure.
But she still
couldn't. She didn't know how to get past
it. And then same thing. You know what I mean? She started praying again. She started going to church again. And eventually she got that conviction from God. She was with somebody else. I was with somebody else. And then we came back together.
Co-parent back to companionship. Yeah. There's the name of your book.
Yeah. Companionship to co-parenting to companionship. If you like to go through these phases.
And maybe that's why we were such great co-parents, because we never stopped loving each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like,
there was something still back in the back of both your minds and hearts.
No matter how much we told our girlfriends or boyfriends that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's nothing. Don't worry.
Don't worry about
it. Way you bad. Wait, what text?
Yeah.
What you doing later? Come on, dog. I see you.
So we've been
dating.
No, we've been
called.
We've moved back in together.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved back in together.
Yeah.
When does this come? When will this podcast come out? Do you
think? Next week. Yeah, we don't have any in the podcast.
Okay. So I can't complete that yet. I'll tell you guys afterwards, but I can't put it on here yet.
Oh, you're gonna go to Vegas and send it?
No. Nothing like that.
He's just gonna get one knee dirty soon, dog.
Yeah.
So we live together.
You live together. How long have you lived together for now?
Where are we at? March?
March.
So it's been 15 months now.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's been 15 months now. Yeah. As soon as we decided we were gonna be together again, like
it's like, yo, let's just get back to it.
Yeah, this is and we didn't want to be away from our kids half the time anymore. Like that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that's changed out of all that is, you know, one, I became a way better father because of the divorce, right? Because now, like, oh, shit, it's not about having all this shit and checking off the boxes. It's about spending genuine time with my kids.
There were times where you weren't able to spend time with your kids.
Yeah.
So now you have a different perspective. Like, yo, I've lived before where I've spent half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you appreciate it that much more. And so you act differently. Obviously, there was a big pattern interrupt there in your life, and it made you appreciate things from a different perspective. Right?
Yeah, and so my decision-making changed. You know, it became the kids and then the business and then everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And so because it was that way, it just got me in a different frame of mind, and then all of a sudden I'm present.
Where does your wife fit in?
What's that?
Where does your wife fit in?
Oh, I'm not married.
Oh, yeah. There's the kids and business and everything else, dog.
I mean, when I was divorced.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
yeah.
That allowed me to be present with my kids.
Gotcha.
For the first time.
Gotcha.
In their lives.
You're saying
lives.
When you were in the middle of the co-parenting.
Yeah, when I was doing the co-parenting.
It was
thing.
Kids, then it was the business.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it helped you realign what was a priority instead of the business and then family.
Yeah, and so I became a way better father. So now it's like when I'm home, I'm home. You know what I mean? We have family core values. I've instituted a lot of stuff that I've learned in these masterminds at home. You know what I mean? So that I'm actually present, and it's made things so much better. And that you know, inability to be content doesn't exist anymore. You know what I mean?
Same.
Yeah.
Same, dude. These masterminds have been huge for that, bro. Like even clear back at Arte, man, start implementing stuff like. Because it's a never-ending battle, though. Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, like, I feel guilty when I'm, like, not being present all the time. But they don't need it all the time. But they need to have, you know.
Their time.
Present
they
time.
They need to have time.
It's it's alignment over balance, right? Mm-hmm. So my kids know why I'm here today. They know who you guys are. You know what I'm saying? They know the relationships that I'm building here. They know what it's going to do for my podcast, you know, my 300 downloads a month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Podcast. Not anymore, bro. Everyone go listen to Doug's podcast. Yeah. You know?
So, and they also know I'm cutting my teeth on you know, my future endeavor, which is team sales consulting. Yeah. You know? And so.
You feel like that's more your passion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so excited listening to y'all's guys' sales calls. I mean, I was just like, oh, man.
I can't wait to see the presentation with the crew tomorrow.
Yeah, I've already got a curriculum. I call it curriculum now because she's a teacher.
We hired you, right? You're going to do
training? No. This is like.
Oh, Kason was saying, like, hey, funsies. I want to hire Doug. And I was like, cool, do it.
This is a huge opportunity for me. So I definitely want to get value back.
We're some guinea pigs. You've done this before,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
You've done this before, and you've been successful at training sales teams at a high level. Guys, here's the deal. Here's what happens with a lot of companies. You get into a certain rhythm and then you just kind of stay there, mm-hmm. right? You stop pouring time, money, or energy into the team, but yet you want your team to continue to get better and pump out more numbers. And why aren't we increasing? Well, you're probably not dumping any time, money, or energy into that department in order for them to increase their knowledge or their skill set or whatever it is. I mean, some sales reps obviously will do it on their own. You know, if they're
rare,
they are rare. Those are unicorn. Again, that's mm-hmm. There's always the rule. And then there's the exception right. to the mm-hmm. rule. Right. So some people will just self-educate because they're so motivated to get to the point of a high income.
Yeah. And they usually leave your company.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. They'll be doing their own thing shortly.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. why it lasts. But again, people should be pouring into the, like when we did the RTA thing, we'd take our book of notes and we'd come back and we'd open it up and we would mm-hmm. then try to teach it to our team, right?
Yeah.
And help develop them. But if individuals aren't like us, right, and going to different masterminds, trying to get information to then pour into the team, you know, there's individuals like Doug that mm-hmm. go, that this is what you do, right? Mm-hmm. Listen to sales calls. I had fun listening to your team sales calls, right? Like, so this is what he gets excited about. This is what he does. This is where he... This is his zone of genius, I guess. It's probably the right way to put it mm-hmm. because usually your zone of genius is kind of what lights you up or what you're passionate about, right?
Yeah.
And so, but the cool thing is what you see here with Doug is he's done a million different things on the way to find out what he's really great at and what he loves doing, right? And so some people need to understand, like, if what you're doing right now is not your passion or what you – that might be the vehicle to get you to the next thing, and that next thing might not even be the thing. It might be the next thing and the next thing after that, but mm-hmm. each vehicle serves its purpose in order to get you to your thing, whatever that ends up being. You know, and I think too many times people just get off the vehicles a little too quick because they're judging it a little too early. They just want to find their passion or what they love or what they enjoy. Here's the deal. If you love and enjoy and your passion is to, you know, have more time with your family or be around your kids more or whatever it is, mm-hmm. maybe the thing that you do, you don't have to be so passionate about because it's the thing that makes you a ton of money so that you can buy your time back to do the thing that you're passionate about. And so what you do isn't always necessarily the thing that you're passionate about in that moment. I'm a firm believer eventually, as long as you stay true to a course mm-hmm. and show up every day consistent at a high level and always wanting to improve. I think that that's an important factor because showing up every day is just not enough. You have to show up every day wanting to improve so that your perspective continues to improve so you continue to find new things out about yourself and how you react in this situation or that situation. So you can continue to put yourself in situations where you're producing at a high level because you now have the patterns to be like, yo, if I do this every day, then this is the thing that happens. So I need to do more of this every day, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're not continuing to improve, then you will not see the shifts that have to happen from one vehicle to the next,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're just showing up, you might stay in the same vehicle forever and never be able to find the thing that leads to the thing, right?
So going back to what you said earlier, like, if you're in your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. I just, I don't like that kind of stuff because it's like,
It's too fairy tale.
You
got
to go through some shit before you get to that.
Yeah.
That niche.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, imagine if I had turned down an opportunity to own a door-to-door company. First of all, who wants to sell door-to-door?
Yeah.
Who wakes up and says, I'm passionate about door-to-door?
I want to go get some doors slammed in my face today.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, but what it was an opportunity into entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's all I saw. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the doors. You know what I mean? I didn't see the rejection. I didn't see the salesmanship I had to have or what I had to learn. I just saw, if I do this, I'm an entrepreneur tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was nobody's going to tell me what I'm worth anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was scratching that itch that I had and that chip on my shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Big time.
Are you pretty good at teaching salesmen how to deal with rejection since you dealt with it in your early
days? I don't understand why they get so hung up on it.
I don't know.
He's like, I can't teach that well because I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't care, bro. Move on to the next
one. No, that's literally all I used to say. I'm like, bro, the best salesman, brush that shit off and go to the next one, man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, that's all I could really tell
all
him.
All the old sayings, you're one more call closer to that yes. Keep it up.
One more door.
One more door. One more door to the yes, right? Like the old cliche sayings or whatever. But it is true. Like, no matter what, in any... Like, let's put it this way. Rock stars get sick of being on the road, and everybody wants to be a rock star.
Yeah. Right.
Some people want to be an athlete. Guess what? Do you really want to be an athlete and get your body beat up day after week, month after month, year mm-hmm. after year?
Where
some of them
do,
have surgeries. And, well, I mean, look up, what's his bodybuilder's name that has, like, a Ronnie Coleman? He has a documentary on Netflix, and everybody probably wanted to be Ronnie Coleman at one point.
I still want to be an MMA fighter, dude. But, that's the only sport I watch. I grew up wrestling, dude, and I'm like, I just love it. And I'm like, man, that'd be so cool to be in those.
You know what you should do,
rings,
and,
dude,
which is
know?
Big in Utah, is rugby.
Oh, really?
That'll scratch that itch a little bit, and you know, won't get knocked unconscious every time you step
that
in
was
the ring.
Bro, that wasn't around when we were, when we were young.
Know we had
rugby
it
is
wasn't.
A new thing now, dude. Like,
it's
where
blowing
it's starting
up in
to
Texas?
Get popular.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's, I swear, rugby's new to our area within the last, like, five or
so
eight
I,
years.
So I played a rugby match 3 weeks ago.
Was it fun?
I mean,
obviously,
I've been playing for 5 years.
Promoting
it. I've been playing for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, first of all, like, we're men. You know what I'm saying? Like, we enjoy violence. Don't get it twisted.
I'd love to throw a shoulder around.
Exactly.
Not
The thing is, when you do something like that, all of a sudden, you know what I mean? When your kids frustrate you at home, it ain't nothing. You know what I mean? You just need something.
It's an outlet.
Sometimes the gym's not enough, man.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes I need to exert violence on another man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dude, jiu-jitsu is pretty fucking fun. I just never make the time to go do it, right?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I go to the gym now, work out, I come in here, we do all those things. I'm like, and in the back of my mind, I keep thinking,
I
need to go up there
that.
And roll around
with
Kevin again, you know? Like, but I don't ever do it. But
those guys they're using every freaking muscle in their body for like an hour straight.
Bro, your neck, you're like, how do I get my head off the pillow to go to work today? Mm-hmm. After, if you haven't done it for a long time, then you go roll around with a bunch of dudes and know what
they're
doing.
Dude, if you haven't played softball in a while, dude, swinging the bat as
did
hard as you
week,
possibly
bro.
Can, your side gets sore. You know what I mean? Like, you're swinging, you're like, oh,
funny, that
damn.
Sounds to me,
I know. Rugby's a little different. Your whole body's sore after that. But, dude, how do people connect with you? How do people reach out to you? You know, if they want to connect in regards to maybe
there's
some
a lot
of, the sales
of training
people
in there with doing some sales training.
Like,
we're using him.
Yeah.
We're using Doug to do some sales training while he's in town for the next couple of days. I'm excited to have
and
my
to be quite
socks
honest
blown
with you,
off.
To be quite honest with you, we really do have a pretty high level sales team in terms of
always
the,
something
in
more
terms
to learn.
Of,
dude.
Correct. Yeah. In terms of
he listens to some of our new guys' calls.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah, those guys are 3 or 4 weeks
old. Don't get on the phone with these guys.
But,
you're going to be a client.
Yeah. We've trained them to do that. But the idea is, and the reason why I say that we really do have high level, you know, making, they can make $200,000 to $300,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how high level these guys, but they work their ass off. It ain't easy. You know,
right.
they're like, so some, everybody wants that number. The number sounds cool, but the process to that number isn't cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm positive of, right? Working 10-hour days or 11-hour days, stuff like that. People want the result they think, but they, if you really wanted it, you would find, you'd put yourself in a situation where you're willing to work 10 to 12 hour days mm-hmm. to make a sacrifice in order to get the thing that you say you want.
Or become so skilled and invest so much in yourself that you only have to work an 8 hour day correct. To get the same results.
Yeah. And get the, exactly. Right. But that,
that's the switch that doesn't happen. Our top guys are there now.
You still have to put in the extra effort to learn how to become that great at being able to produce so much higher than everybody else in a lesser time frame. So there's still going to be an off balance moment there that you're going to have to invest. But the whole point of me saying that is, like, we're always, that's one thing that we're all about is open to new information. Mm-hmm. Even if they are a high level sales team, you guys need to understand all it takes is one person in our sales team to hear one thing that mm-hmm. makes a little shift or an adjustment or a tweak. And most people's sales calls aren't really that off.
It might even be something they've already heard, but Doug says it in a way unlocks it for him.
And unlocks it.
And that's what I was going to say. You know? There's two pieces to it. Yeah. There's, you know, like mom and dad always tell me every day, but then this random person off of YouTube comes in and tells me, and oh, now I believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's that, you know, and that's a less impressive piece. But and then the second piece is you guys are running your business. You're doing your investments. You're out there making it rain, right? You're rainmakers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Are you able to be here every day coaching your sales manager, coaching your salespeople? No. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And holding them accountable and looking at it from a different point of view. You know what I mean? So sometimes you just need a coach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need a consultant to come in and shake shit up. You know what I mean?
Well, bro, we're not, and it's not just sales. Like, we don't say this shit just to hype you up. This is like true shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're even about, like, investing money into, you know, getting more information to our accountants so that mm-hmm. they become better at tax planning like we invest into our departments or in areas to where they can improve their skills or their knowledge level so that they can operate at a higher level. And if they're operating mm-hmm. at a higher level, it's going to create more opportunities for them within our organization as well. And so it just, it's just the right thing to do. If you want your people to produce at a higher level or, to grow at all, I guess I should say, don't have them just show up and do the same thing over and over and over to the point where there's just zero growth.
They're going
to
burn out.
They're going to burn out. So it's about bringing outside people in, which is what we've done. We've even brought people in to speak to our group, you know, and paid money to fly them in and say, hey, you know, rally the troops, so to speak, because we think it is important to invest into your organization and your people in your organization. And so if any of you guys have a sales team or even wanted to, I don't even know if you consult with people for this, because we've told people before, like, if you don't have a sales team, you should have a sales team no matter what you're doing. Figure it out. Figure out a way to do it.
Honestly, that's my niche is when you don't have one.
Yes.
And you want one. That's kind of where I thrive.
Gotcha.
Because I don't think sales is one of the best things to outsource. We've talked about that before. Like, I'm not saying in all situations, but in most situations, there's these outsourced sales companies. I'm like, I don't know, man. That seems like a really weak thing if you can't build it in-house, because that's a driving force of your company.
And if you can build it in-house, now you have complete control of the customer that you want.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's so much control when you're pressing on those metrics with your salespeople. You know what I'm saying? You can get the exact customer you want versus, you know, you outsource and you get whatever they send you because they're trying to earn a commission.
So if you need a sales team or you need to improve your sales team, it's worth it.
Doug's the guy.
Yeah. TX BizDad. TXBizDad on any social media, and then TXBizDad.com.
Yeah, teach you how to slow cook a bean roast too.
Or
you
just
know?
Jump on the podcast.
Slow. You ate his roast, bro?
No, but they look delicious though. I've smoked a few briskets and a few pork shoulders and stuff.
I've seen his Instagram stuff, and I'm like, damn,
that does look pretty juicy. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Obviously, bro, when there's a piece of meat that looks like it's hooked up to IVs because it's poked and prodded and just. He's monitoring that thing while it's cooking, bro.
I just
eyeball that shit. I slab it, bro.
I'm not that guy. Don't put me in that category.
I swear that was you that has like the temperature stick on it and then like a little clip thing. No, that wasn't you.
I'm old school, brother.
You're eyeballing it too?
Heck yeah.
Well, who's on our shit? I know my shit.
Somebody's on our Instagram feed.
I use a thermometer.
That's doing that shit. Yeah. So,
what's the name of your podcast?
Building great sales teams. Who would have thought?
Building great sales teams. TX BizDad, BizDad.
Mm-hmm.
TX.
And that's on Instagram. You can hit them up on Instagram. Do you prefer Instagram? You prefer Facebook? Do you prefer people going to your website? Wherever.
I'm easy.
Just find them however you can find them. And if you can't find them, send us a message and we'll help you find him. We know where to find his ass. Yeah. So, dude, we appreciate you coming on, dude. We appreciate you flying out a little bit early. We're super stoked
to have you in our mastermind.
When we saw your name, that was like a no-brainer. We're like, dude, Doug's the man. He's over. You know what I mean? But
our piles were pretty funny, dude. We had a we had a PMI file. It's like pretty much in. We're in on them. If they're in, they're in.
Yeah.
You know? I talked to Corey first, and I was sweating. He was like, well, not everybody's getting in. You know what I mean? I was sweating a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Well, he'll teach you how to sell then.
Oh, dang. Got a Corey sells machine.
Corey is the old sales guy.
His
ass came and sat in here. I'm not a sales guy. Nick's just bringing me in, wants me to teach you how I could help you with websites. I'm like, Nick, what? Nick is a sales guy. But I'm like, Corey did all the selling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's how we met him.
He's not bad.
He was with a sales guy, but he sold us. You're the guy? You're the fulfillment? Yeah. What's the deal? There's a disconnect. Yeah.
Hey.
So, yeah,
he
4 years later.
Value, created demand. You know
and
what I'm saying?
And then here he is 4 years later. Still
and then boom, here's the
you
price.
You know what I mean? So, no, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming on. Guys, reach out to this individual if you have any sales problems or even have any sales questions. It might just be a question that he can straight up answer. It might not be like, yo, he's not going to bill you $50 to answer one question. Like, he's a guy of service. You know, this we were very strategic about you know, the type of people we brought into our mastermind. As you can see, everybody's of a high level of service.
Absolutely.
And if you put yourself in a room where everybody's of service, you're being served while you're serving, and whether you know it or not, somebody's serving you while you're serving, and the whole room has the ability to be elevated. And that's just type of individual that Doug is. So if he can serve you in any capacity, make sure that you reach out to him. Definitely reach out to him, at least thank him for, you know, dropping some nuggets on today's show and giving you his time. So other than that, guys, we appreciate you tuning in, and we will chat your ear off next week.
That's right. Peace out.
That's right.